So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock, our strength, and our redeemer. Amen. What a joy to share in the events of this evening. Mark is the first official canon that's been appointed from within the Free Church of England, and we've never had an archdeacon before either. So what a blessing both of those events are. Well, when we look at the readings for today, they all link together beautifully. The gospel reading from Luke takes us onto a road, an ordinary road, walked by ordinary disciples, and what feels like an extraordinary day. The risen Christ has already conquered death, but these two disciples do not know it yet. They walk away from Jerusalem in confusion, in grief, and in disappointment. And you can hear it in the words they say. "We had hoped," they said in Luke 24, verse 21. "We had hoped." Those words carry the weight of their dashed expectations. Hope is in the past tense. And yet it is precisely on this road of uncertainty, that Jesus comes near and walks with them. The first thing to notice is that Jesus draws near to them. He meets them in their confusion. This is the pattern of the Christian life and ministry. But the Emmaus Road reminds us that much of ministry happens not in the dramatic moments, but in the quiet walking alongside moments, listening, asking questions, opening scripture. For our two honoured guests, Canon Mark has been opening the scriptures every working day since COVID began in March 2020. First of all, it was to his work colleagues, "Wash your hands, O ye sinners," I think was the first bit of scripture that he said. And then to the rest of us. And I know the impact they have had on countless wanderers. Mark is always at my side. Not that we agree on everything. Ask him about the hall floor later. He'll give you his opinion. But we have a mutual love of the Lord that will never be shaken. And for the venerable Dr. Bob, there must be times when he looks back at his interview and wished that he had never said yes to the invitation to become our General Secretary. You know, he often says that the job description that he was given is probably only about 5% of the job that it has become. Dealing with bishops and archbishops, dealing with properties and legal things, an almost a daily occurrence. But both of these men have undertaken to walk with the Free Church of England people in their uncertainty, to recognise that Christ is already at work and to help others see him. An old pastoral illustration tells of a chaplain who visits a man in hospital who had long abandoned his faith. The chaplain did not begin with an argument or with correction, but he just simply listened. On several visits that he did there, he spoke of life. They chatted about football, about all sorts of things, about loss, about longing. Only gradually did Scripture enter into the conversation. Then years later, the man said, "I didn't return to God because I was persuaded. I returned because I realized he had been walking with me all along." Jesus then does something remarkable with the two men that he bumped into on the Emmaus Road, beginning with Moses and all the prophets. He interpreted them and the things about himself that are contained in all the scriptures. Their hearts began to burn within them. And this connects deeply with 1 Peter. "I have been born anew through the living and abiding word of God." The word of God is not merely information. It is transformation. For those entrusted with leadership in the church, the call is not simply to manage or organize, but to open the scriptures faithfully, to show how all things point to Christ. And notice, Jesus does not simply give them conclusions. He walks them through the story, step by step, over the 7 miles that it took. In ministry, people often do not need quick answers. They need faithful companions who will patiently open the word, helping them see Christ at the center of all things. And then the turning point comes at the table. He took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized Jesus. They recognized who had actually walked with them on that road to Emmaus. Word and sacrament together. And this echoes Psalm 116. "What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation," it says. Not sure whether you're like me, but do you remember Sundays when you were growing up? Thank you, Lucy.
No problem.
Well, to me, it was always a special day. Sunday dinner was a special meal. I think Colin had left home by this time. But it was almost always the best meal of the week. Once Colin left home, we started having beef and all those kind of things. Mom had put in a roast or something, like roast chicken or pork or lamb or beef, and it would be in the oven cooking all morning on a very low heat. So when I returned after church, the roast or whatever was still cooking was there, and the aroma kind of pervaded the house, and I couldn't wait to eat it. And the meal was delicious. And the very small portions that I had. Well, the Lord's Supper, our Sunday dinner, is one of the things that unites us as a church family. It reconstitutes the family experience many of us enjoyed in our childhood. For those who did not have that family experience, it creates a new family here. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper, our Sunday dinner, our fellowship meal. Recognition comes not only through explanation, but through participation. It is a profound truth for the church. Christ is made known not only in preaching, but in the breaking of the bread. Not only in teaching, but in worship. And so your ministry as canon and archdeacon is deeply spiritual in shape. Gathering people, offering thanksgiving, breaking what is given, sharing it so that others may see Christ. Jesus, our Saviour, our host, invites us to his table to celebrate our relationship with each other and our relationship with him. It's all set and prepared behind me. But the story does not end at the table. They got up that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. That direction of their journey in reverse. They move from despair to proclamation. This is exactly what we see in Acts 2. Those who receive the word are baptized, devoted, and sent into a new life. And here is the key. Encounter with the risen Christ always leads to witness. Not necessarily dramatic preaching to thousands, but faithful testimony. The Lord has risen indeed, Luke 24:34 says. Now, one or two of you here know that I have been asked by Bishop Gideon to preach in Bolton at the end of July at an Anglican missionary congregation's synod. It's a whole weekend of celebration and worship together, and it concludes on the Sunday evening on which I am the principal speaker. Gulp. There's going to be about 250 people there, I'm told. I did ask, Bob, is this legit? And he said, yes, it certainly is. Bishop Gideon wrote to me with more detail, saying that the service will be streamed live on Facebook, YouTube, or FaceTube, I call it, YouTube, but also on ACN TV in Nigeria, which is viewed to more than 70 countries and millions of viewers. So no pressure then. But wow, what an opportunity to walk along and share the gospel. The conference theme is you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, from John 8 verse 32. So for those entering special roles today, their ministry will help shape the witness of others. You encourage clergy and laity alike to move from we had hoped to we have seen the Lord. And finally, 1 Peter reminds us that we live in reverent fear and also call to love one another deeply from the heart. This is not fear as anxiety, but as awe. A recognition that we serve the living God, revealed in Christ who walks with his people. Psalm 116 brings it home personally. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice. All part of the readings of the day. They're on the back of the notice book. You can read them when you get home. All ministry flows from this hope. Not duty alone, not office alone, but love. For the Lord who first loved us. So today, as we have admitted a canon and an honorary archdeacon, we do so not simply to recognize roles, but to affirm a calling shaped by this Emmaus pattern, to walk with others, especially in uncertainty, to open the scriptures faithfully, to recognize Christ in word and sacrament, to lead others into joyful witness, to serve in love and reverent devotion. And we do so with confidence, not in human strength, but in the risen Christ, who still comes alongside his people, still opens the scriptures, still breaks the bread, and still sets hearts on fire. So may it be said of your ministries and of all our lives, were not our hearts burning within us? Amen.